Okay, so we're on Daf Hey today. Okay, so let's go to Daf Hey, page 9, and the Mishnah is 6 lines from the top. So the Mishnah says, "Manitin amatay sholin hakshamim," means how long do we ask for rain? Means when do we stop saying "v'tein talu matar"? When do we stop saying "v'tein talu matar"? Rabbi Yehuda Meirachi of Ora Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says, "A simple shot till Pesach is over." And so we discussed this yesterday. So according to the Tan Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rashi learned Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah here, it means until, like, even during Chol Hamoed Pesach, he would say Tein Tal Matar Lebracha. But there's a different version of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Remember, we said it was Trei Tanai Alibid Rabbi Yehuda, a different version of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, and he holds you just say it, you stop Mashbaruch when it gets you on the first day Yom Tov of Pesach, right, on Musaf. So that's the way we hold the halakha. Now, actually, we learned in the Gemara previously, and Rabbi Leibowitz was mentioning this in his daftir today. I was listening online. We learned the other pshatim yesterday. Shavuot Pesach might mean until the same thing, until the Baal Musaf comes down. The Gemara rejected that. And Ad Shavuot Pesach might mean up until, like, the Zman of Shechita Korban Pesach. But anyway, but the simple pshat is until Pesach is over. Rameir Omer, Adshay Tzei Nisan. The Tan Rameir says that we say Talmatar through the entire month of Nisan. Shenemar, Vayor Lachem Geshem, Mora Umal Kosh Barishon. Now, this Pesach in Yoel, we'll have more about this in the Gemara, is talking about where a miraculous rain came to the Jews after 7 years of famine. And Hashem brought rain. Mora Umal Kosh means like the early rain and late rain, Barishon, in the first month. So the Gemara darshans that it would be, that would be the entire month of Nisan. And the only thing that Rabbi Leibowitz was mentioning today, the Gvurat Ari is the same as the Shagas Aryeh. So it's going to come out in the Gemara that it really means the rain came until the first day of Pesach. In other words, the example is not so strong. You know what I'm saying? So the Gemara learns that was really in the time of Yoel, it was just till the 15th of Nisan, that's when it was taking place. So, but he answered, I think he was quoting the Rashash, says that but the words in the Pasuk could be understood that way. So that's the way the Gemara has that Raya. All right, so I'm going to go further in the Gemara now. Any questions on the Mishnah? Everybody good? All right, so we're on Daf Hey. We finished the Mishnah. We're 4 lines over, it gets wide. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amali Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak." Now, in today's Gemara, is mostly going to be a series of questions that Rav Nachman has to Rav Yitzchak. So, "Amali Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Yor Benisan." So, Yoram. So again, like in Kriyat Shema, we say, you know, Yore Umal Kosh. Yore is the early rain, and Mal Kosh is the late rain. So the Gemara says, he says Yore Benisan. It says in the pasuk that we quoted in the Mishnah. It says Vayored Lachem Geshem Moreh Umal Kosh Rishon. Moreh is the same as Yoreh in the Rishon. I gave it in the first month. This is Yoreh in Nisan. He says Yoreh Mar Cheshvan Hu. Yoreh is the rain that comes in Mar Cheshvan. It's the first rain, but it comes in Mar Cheshvan. Like we'll see later on in the Masechta, when the rains don't come in Mar Cheshvan, that's when we start having fasts. So that's in Mar Cheshvan. The Tanya, we learned in the Brisa. So this is 2 lines before it gets right on Hey and Rabbah. The Tanya. Yoreh b'mar cheshvan, u'mal kosh b'nisan. Yoreh comes in mar cheshvan, and mal kosh, which is later rain, comes in Nisan. We're just trying to understand the pasuk that we quoted from Yoel. So that's what Rav Nachman asked Rav Yitzchak. So Amar Leh, Rav Yitzchak says, Rav Nachman, hati amar Rav Yochanan. This is what Rav Yochanan says. So again, we're going to have a series of questions tonight from Rav Nachman's Rav Yitzchak, and in many of them, he quotes Rav Yochanan. He says, b'mei Yoel ben Putiel, mikay mikrazeh. But this pasuk was fulfilled on top of Yoel. Yoel ben Petuel is the Nabi Yoel. Now, the Rabbi Leibowitz is quoting, and I saw in the Masechta Gemara they mentioned as well. So Petuel, so Rashi in Yoel says that Petuel is another name for Shmuel Hanabi. And he's called Petuel because he was Mefata Hashem with his tefillah. So that means Yoel is the son of Petuel. The only thing I was sort of bothered by is that in the Pesukim in the Navi, so it says that Shmuel, like Eliyahu Cohen had two sons and they weren't so great. So the Navi says that Shmuel had two sons and it says one of his sons was Yoel, but they weren't so great. It says that they took Shochad and it sounds like they weren't you know, and here Yoel is the Navi, according to the way that Rashi is explaining. But I saw this over with Rabbi Packer, he's Mashiach there, so he was saying that the Gemara says in Shabbos that, you know, has all these people who call Omer, you know, ex chata, you know, Toa. So one of them is that whoever says that B'nai Shmuel were chota is making a mistake. In other words, that the Avera is not as explicit as the Pesukim seem to make it sound, not as bad as Pesukim make it sound. So one Hezbollah in the Gemara is that Shmuel, he wrote the circuit. He would go to different places where people would need him, he would go to those places. Whereas the sons, they stayed in one spot and let everybody come to them. And they were like sort of enriching like the Sofrim in the Beis Din. And that's what the Gemara, you know, the Navi refers to as like a type of Shochad. But that's the thing with Yoel. Okay.
Now, can I just say Ruth is trying to get on? I just got a call from her.
Okay, let's see. Let me take a look 1 second. I don't see her here, Fern. I think she's using, she may be using the one for tomorrow night. Tell her to use tomorrow night is Thursday night. That's the one I sent the email out for. It's try this other one. Okay. So it says, so let me go further in the Gemara. I'll post just a few lines. Okay. The last narrow line on Hamad Aleph. So when the Hathor of Yochanan, Yoel Ben Tuel, Kaymikra, Zedatib, Bey, Yeter Agazam, Achal Ha'arbe, the Gomer. So it says that they had 7 years of famine, and the last 4 years of the famine were a lot of locusts. So yet Gazam is a type of like locust as well. So whatever the Gazam leaves over, the Arba is going to eat. In other words, everything is a disaster. So Otashana Yatsa Adar Vlo Yagub Shamim. So that year, which was a disastrous year, so Adar had passed, they still didn't have any rain. In other words, like they're chalashing. Yardalahem Rabia Rishona Be'echad Nisan. Rabia Rishona means the first rain. And if it's nice to remember these Rashis, if you look at the Rashi, Rabia Rishona, which is 20 lines above where it gets wide, he says, Hatchalat Yishamim, with the Tan of Farish, this is tomorrow's daf, which Michael is going to be doing, Rabbi Yishamar Biyat Aretz. It's called Rabia because it, like, right, in other words, like Michael says, impregnates, in other words, it's like you have relations, that's like to be Marbia. So the rain is like the man, he's putting his zera in the earth, and that's the way it goes, it's Marbia, that's what's Rabia Rishona. So back in the Gemara, so he says, so the first rain came on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Navi, Yoel, said to everybody, go out and plant. And then the planting season would be in Mar Cheshvan. But now it's Nisan. Nisan, they'd used to be harvesting already. He said, plant. Amru lo, so they said to him, let's say a person has a kav of wheat. A kav is a measure of wheat. Or two kav of sorum and barley, your klenav yichyeh, should he eat it and live? In other words, like the wheat could be seeds, the wheat could be dinner, you know, the bread. So should he eat it and live? Or yizrenav yamud, or should he plant it and die? In other words, there's no other food. So if we plant it, you know, it's will be gesturben, geboren. So amar lahem, so he said to them, afal pichein se'u b'ziru. Trust me, go out and plant it. He says, Nasalam Nais, a miracle occurred. So a miracle occurred, and it was revealed the wheat that the mice had hidden. In other words, they went and planted. And then after they planted, they found the wheat that the mice had stored away in the walls. And they found where the ants had taken away wheat. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz is talking today. There's a question of halacha, let's say for Pesach. If you have wheat, and then you see like the mice have been there where the wheat is, and so do you have to be concerned that it's chametz? In other words, because the saliva of the mice, you know, might have made it type of chametz. So one raya they want to bring from this Gemara is you see not this way because they're going to eat this wheat. It's Pesach. In other words, they're going to be eating it. He says Yatsuv Zaru. So they went and they seeded Sheni Ushlishu Rabi. They planted the wheat, they planted the barley on the second, and the third, and the fourth day of Nisan. The second rain came down on the fifth day of Nisan. So the wheat miraculously had an accelerated growth, and the barley, and Omer, right, I know it's barley, just 1 minute. So they were able to bring the Omer on the 16th day of Nisan. it comes out tavua at the grains that only takes 6 months to grow, it 11 days. So it grew between the 5th of Nisan and the 16th. So he says, so it comes out that for the matzah, they would have had to take that wheat, but that's the only thing they had. Grow the barley. Nimsa omer karei mitzvua shal shishat harashim karei mitzvua shal acharas hayom. Yal oto hador hu omer hazarim b'dima b'rina yitzoru haloch yelech u'bacho no se'neshach hazarav g'omer. Concerning that generation is what the Pasuk in Tehillim refers to, those who plant with tears. Let me see if I see Ruth. I don't see Ruth here, Fern. I don't know if you could. What happened? She's hearing with you.
I have her listening through me here on the phone.
Okay. Ruth, if you want to come on, just click the regular link that you did last night, and I'll let you in.
There's a problem with this computer because it says just tell him to keep going. I'll just keep listening.
Okay. This is Hazorim B'dimah Barina Yitzaru. Those who seed with tears, they'll reap with tremendous song. Halo Yelechu B'chol. They'll cry. No say Meshach Hazara. They said that the article translated contain the container of the seeds. So my holoch yelechu b'cho no se meshach v'gomer. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, shurak shu choresh, the ox when it's plowing olechu b'ocha. It's like crying. It's got so much work. It's plowing. Uva chazirato ochel chaziz ben atalem. On the way back, he was already able to eat some of the stubble that had grown up. Zeu bo yavo barina. Now, my no se alum otav. Now. So it said in the beginning, Hazorim B'dima B'rina Yisoru. That we got. That's the people who were starving, and they planted with tears. And now they're reaping B'rina with song. And then we said, Halki V'chol, that's the ox. No Shemesh HaKazara, Bo Yavu B'rina. Now, what is my No Se'el Lumotav? What's added by No Se'el Lumotav? Amr Rav Chista, Amr Lomani Satanas. Rav Chista says, and some say that we learn in the Braisa, Kana Zeret, she holds her time. If the stalk would be one zeret in height. A zeret is half an amma. So if the stalk would be, let's say, 9 inches in height, shibolet zeretayim. The ear would be one amma, would be two zeret. In other words, that's an atypical proportion. So Rashi brings down, let's see the Rashi, on the fourth wide line downstairs, zeu neskadol mashen ki derek potvua shakana pishtosha miyorba b'shibolet. Rashi says the stalk is normally 3 or 4 times the length of the shibboleth. And here the shibboleth is twice the length of the stalk. So that he says, so that was the big symbol. Now, there's something else I wanted to say. One minute. Yeah. Now, so one question you could ask is here they're bringing this for the Omer. So there's a well-known piece from Reb Chaim, he says, it has to be like a natural shemen. It can't be shemen nes. In other words, we can't offer miraculous oil for the, he says on Hanukkah. So Reb Chaim has a piece where it says it can't be that it was increased in quantity in the oil for Hanukkah, because that would be, something miraculous. It has to be shemen zayit. In other words, the oil that's offered to light the menorah has to be shemen zayit. It can't be shemen nes. So mamela, it can't be that it was a difference in quantity, Reb Chaim says. It had to be a difference in quality. So the quality changed. So if that's the case, so the question is, how could they have taken this barley and used it for the omer? Isn't this the barley, miraculous barley? Right? It's barley that grew in 15 days. 11 days, right, from the 5th of, one second, it grew from the 5th of Nisan to the 6th of Nisan. So Rav Leib was quoted, and I saw in the Masipta, they quote this as well, from the Yad Chano, he says that there's different types of miracles. He says sometimes you have a miracle that's the lubash b'teva, it's covered over with nature. So here, in other words, here you have something you plant, and it grows. It's just the growth process was accelerated. That's miraculous, but something grows, and now I have it. As opposed to something, put from thin air, that's the name that I can't use in the base of Mikdash. Okay, who's a question now? Which one to say, Rafi, then I'll take everybody else. No. But the way you're saying, that's what an ace is. That's what an ace is when Hashem does things, right? No. But that's what we're saying. Then it can't be from an ace. So if Hashem creates things miraculously, then it's an ace, and then we can't use the Narvotas on the base of Mikdash. All right, but we're saying that the people planted it, they did everything naturally. It's just that, you know, it was like Nace, Melubash, Bateva. Okay, yeah. With Yoel? Well, it's before the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, and we said that Yoel was the son of Shmuel Hanavi, so just like rough and ready, I'll say, let's say 800 BCE, we'll say. I mean, the Tanakh is filled with miracles, right? The Tanakh is filled with miracles. We don't have miracles today anymore, right? So we're like, that's what the Gemara says. We're on a much lower level. Hashem doesn't intervene that way anymore for us. All right. Anything else anybody wants to say? Everybody good? All right. Nice to have everybody here. All right. Let's go further in the Gemara. Okay. So we did the Machloket in the Mishnah. And then, and again, we said the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Daf Bei, who says that, you know, Lord of Geshem, we begin on Shmini Atzeret, and then we stop saying it on the first day of Pesach. All right, now let's take a look back in the Gemara. And then when we stop saying it, then we'll stop saying, Ting Matar, Ting Tal Matar. Okay, so now the Gemara having brought up one, you know, question for Rav Nachman, for Rav Yitzchak, we're going to have a series also that way, even though it's not so well connected necessarily to our Gemara. So around 15 lines from the bottom. I'm Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, my deceive, Kikara Hashem Rav. What does Pasuk mean that Hashem has summoned the famine, the Gambal Ha'aretz Sheva Shanim, and that it'll be on land for 7 years? So, Baharach Sheva Shanim, my Achol. So, this Lechora, I think it's machloket among the Mefarshim. But one way is to say it's referring to the same famine that's in Sefer Yoel. So he says, what did people eat for those 7 years? You got 7 years of famine. Well, what do you got to eat? So Amar Le'e, Hachim or Rav Yochanan. So again, Rav Nachman posts questions to Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak quotes Rav Yochanan. He says, Shana Rishona Achlu Mashabatim. The first year they ate what they had stored in their homes. Shnia Achlu Mashabatim. The second year they ate what was in the field. And Rashi says the fifth white line, speaking, means like the aftergrowth. And it was not that anything was growing, like from a new crop, but they had like the aftergrowth, things left over from the previous crop. You know, and it was like you cut the previous crop and then it grows a little bit. Yeah. Shlishi, basar behema Torah. Year three, they checked their kosher animals, I guess the cows and chickens, whatever else they had. Or behema is a four-legged animal, like sheep and the goat. Revit, basar behema Torah. The fourth year, they went, we say, like to treifas, maybe horses or things like that. Chamishi basar shkatz and ramasim. In the fifth year, they ate like these crawling, creeping creatures, like reptiles, rodents, that type of thing. Shishi basar b'neiyam u'b'noteiyam. The sixth year, they ate the flesh of their children. So Rav Leib was saying, let's say the child had died, you know, and now that's dinner. Shvi basar z'roteiyam. Now the seventh year, they ate the flesh on their limbs. So I saw one shot today, they quoted this in Masechta Gemara, that they said it meant that they had lost so much weight as if they had eaten the flesh on their limbs. You know what I mean? Let's say, whatever, you were, you know, 150 before, now you're 100. It's like as if you had eaten the flesh on your limbs, you're subsisting off of your body. But it doesn't say what they then ate. It says, L'tayema sh'nemar, ish b'sar z'ro yocheder. The person will eat the flesh of his limbs. Okay, so that's
what did the behemoths eat if there was a ra'av that they had
blocked behemoths? I don't know. I mean, the kosher animals, they're herbivores, so they would eat whatever grasses would be around. So I don't know if they were like the fattest animals, but I guess they would eat, you know, whatever, you know, herbage was growing. I don't know what else to say. Yeah, that's in the after 7 years, and he says plan. Then they said there's the last thing, and you see, by the way, so I think maybe Rabbi Leibowitz said, you see, they still had some food, even though it's saying you have this whole malach, but they did have some wheat and some barley left over, you know, and then because that's the part that they planted. Okay, so let me go further. Again, we're going to have a series of questions from Nachman, from Yitzchak, and it's like moving further away from from Tanis. What does Pasuk mean in Hosea? In your midst is kadosh, holy. It sounds like everybody's from below Avobat year, but I, Hashem, will not enter the city of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Hashem did kibracha kadosh below Avobat year, and it seems like counterintuitive. In other words, if everybody's doing the right thing, why is Hashem not making his presence felt in the city? So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yitzchak said, Hachimor Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yitzchak refers to Rabbi Yochanan. Amar kadosh baruch hu lo Avobat Yerushalayim shamala ad shabo Yerushalayim shamata. It means, until Bekir B'chak Kadosh, in other words, till Hashem, okay, Ruth made it. Anyway, till Bekir B'chak Kadosh, till Hashem enters Yerushalayim Shamata, Bekir B'chak Kadosh, I'm not going to enter Yerushalayim Shamal. In other words, there's a Yerushalayim down here, and there's a corresponding Yerushalayim Shamayim. So Hashem is saying, as long as I'm not entering Yerushalayim down here, I'm not entering Yerushalayim Lamala either. So Bekir B'chak Kadosh, until I enter Yerushalayim Shamata, I'm not entering Lo Avo Be'ir. So he says, so let's take a look at the Rashi. He says, one second. Yeah, so it's four lines above, five lines above where it gets from the bottom. Lo Avo Yerushalayim Chula, the Hakka Kamar, Adshei Bekir B'chak Kadosh, Lamata, the Hainu Yerushalayim, Lo Avo Be'ir Shalamala. All right, now let's see. Umi Ink Yerushalayim Lamala. Is there a Yerushalayim Shamala? He says, "In there is Dechtiv Yerushalayim Habinuya Kir Shechubra LaYachdav. The built Yerushalayim is here Shechubra La. It's got like a sister city, got a Kaver. So there's Yerushalayim down here, and there's Yerushalayim Shamala, and that comes out in Shas also, and about like Michal being Korban of Yerushalayim Shamala. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, let's keep moving. Okay, five lines from the bottom." But Amar Lei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak. So again, Rav Nachman has another question. Rav Yitzchak, my dichtiv, and these are sort of, you know, difficult psukim. The Gemara darshin in one way, and Farshim will darshin another way. My dichtiv uvachat ibaru biyachsalu usar habalim eitzu. It means like as one, like a ba'ar, mean like a boor, like and a seal is a fool. So he says like as one, they're like, in other words, it's like talking to the wall to talk to these people because, like, they're fools. He says, Musar Habalim Eitzu. In other words, any Musar is like for vanity. They're like wood. It's like doesn't make sense to even talk to them. So, what does that pasuk mean? So, Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So, Rabbi Yochanan says, this is the shot of the pasuk differently than I just said. Achachi Shemabarit Rishayim Begehenim. That Achat Yivaru, so Yivaru means like a bar is a boor, but here the Gemara is saying, like to be burnt. There's one Avera that's going to incinerate, in particular, the refining Gehenna. So,
Can you let Ruth in?
I just let her in. I just let her in. I don't know what the problem is. Okay, I'll let her in. Okay, there she is. Okay, now she's in. I'm touching this, but it's not moving. All right, but she's in. Okay, she should be in. All right, now. Anyway, so there's one sin in particular. Okay, Ruth, welcome. We're three lines from the bottom on Hamad Aleph, okay? All right. So he says, He says, Avodah Zarah. So the one sin is idolatry. When Jews do Avodah Zarah, that's like a kiss of death. Kiv hacha musar habalim. In this pasuk, it refers to like the musar, like the vanity, A2. Uchtiv hatam hevel hema maasei tatuim. That they, the Avodah Zarah, is like vanity, maasei tatuim, like an avera of what the aberrant. How does he translate tatuim? Anybody? You know what I'm saying?
Vanity, delusion.
Delusion. Okay. Okay. All right. Now I'm going to go on. Anybody have any questions? Are we good? Okay. Two lines from the bottom. But Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, my dichtiv, Yishtayim Ra'od Asa'imi. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and this pasuk is in the Haftorah of Shimu, which is the second of the you know, Salat of the Puranuta, the three Averot of Onesh that we do in 3 weeks in the summer. This Hishtaim Ra'od Asami, that my nation has done two evils. So the Gemara says, Tartin Hu Dahavu, Esrim Da Arba Shrikabu. So it means, if you look in the Chezkel, see Chezkel delineates all the Averot, and it comes out that there are 24 Averot. How is it that he, now some say that the Girsa here should be Esrim Da Tarte, 22. In other words, he got 24, and he only mentions two. He says, Kishtaim wrote us on me. Now, that's from Yirmiyah, but Yechezkel, who lives around the same time, he looks at 24 of Averot. So what happens to the other 22? So Amale, Hachim or Rabbi Yochanan. So again, Rizka says, what Rabbi Yochanan says, Aha, he turned page, Shkul Kishtaim. There's one Avera, which is equal to two. There's one Avera is a real big Avera. Umayni, what Avera is that? That's Avodah Zarah. Dechtiv, Kishtaim Ra'od Asami. Pasuk says that this is the same Pasuk we quoted a minute ago. There are two evils my nation has done. Oti Azvu Mekor Mayim Chayim. They've forsaken me, the source of living water. He says, Lachsov Lahem Borot, Borot Nishbarim. To dig like these Borot that are going to break. Let me see how we translate this. Borot, he says, it's cisterns, right? Yeah, cisterns that will break. Okay, in other words, like you have the cistern and you build it up on the side that it'll break. And then it says, go to the aisles of the Kittites. So I think the Kittim could be, I'm thinking maybe Crete. I don't know. It might be Crete. I don't know. It says, go to the aisles of the Kittim, and see. The Kedar shalchu b'bonanu ma'od, and sent to Kedar and focused clearly. The Gomer ha'imir goy Elohim b'him Elohim. He says, does a nation give up its gods and they're not gods? In other words, they have their Avodah Zarah, but they're devoted to their Avodah Zarah. They don't give up their Avodah Zarah. He says, v'ami ha'imir kodo below yo'il. But my nation, like, you know, that's it, out the door. So Tana to Rebraisa, and now he's explaining, and we're going to come back to the Pshat, Kutim of Dimlech. The Kutim, they worship fire. That's the big thing for them. The Kedariim of Dimlech. The people in Kedar, they worship the water. So the Kutim, they worship fire, even though they know that water will douse our fire. So I have Avodah Zarah A is fire, Avodah Zarah B is water. So the fire worshippers, they're devoted to fire, even though the other people are worshiping the water, and the water would douse out the fire, but they don't give it up. They don't give up their God. Yami, Hamir, Kibodo, he says on the side, below Yawil. My nation gives up, like Kibodo means their word, the one they worship, below Yawil, without any benefit. So it means like this. On the one hand, that they give up their God, the other nations don't give up the God, in addition to which, I do things for them. The Avodah Zarah doesn't do anything for them. So there's a double whammy. They're giving me up, and they're giving up for nothing. Okay, so that's what he means, that there's an Avera. So in the Pasuk, we said, Shtayim Ra'od Asami, that there's an Avera that's really like, it's like a double Avera, that they give up, you know, their God for Avodah Zarah, and they're giving up something that's not helping them in any way. All right. Any questions? All right, move on. Now, we're on 10 lines down on the Ham Gate. Family Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, my dechib, by he kasher zakin Shmuel. So when Shmuel was elderly, and the Pasuk continues on, I told you, he says that his two sons, you know, weren't going such a great derech, like the Navi says of King Shokhan. We discussed earlier that the Gemara says, and Rabbi Packer was saying this, that, you know, Kol Omer b'nei Shmuel chatu eno toa. Shmuel became a zakein. Usually zakein, we usually say it's like 70. So did Shmuel ever become so old? He says, Bahabar, Khamshim Vitarti Haba. He was 52 when he died. So why does the Nabi say that he was zakein? The Amamar mate the Khamishim Ushtaim Shana Zomitosh Shmuel Ramati. If a person dies at age 52, that's the death of Shmuel Ramati. Now, if you look at Rashi on this, on the third white line, now, there's two versions. One is velo kareti, the Masech Smachot. It's not karet. In other words, if you die at age 52. So, Nefarish, mei pekach shanim, zui mitat karet, pekach ka zui mitat askura. So the Gemara says, like, you go to a certain amount of time, that's Tari. Another time is a meet of Askara. But the way the Rashi has it here, it's not the death of Tari. But someone is saying, meaning that you would die at age 50, would be Tari, and then Shmuel dies at 52, so that's the death of Shmuel. Someone is saying, no, if you die between age 50 and 60, that could be the meet of Tari. And so this was the meet would normally be Tari. But in this case, not. We'll see in a minute. For reasons that the Gemara will explain. He says, back in the Gemara, so Amarlei Hachimar Rav Yochanan. Again, Rav Yitzchak refers everything to Rav Yochanan. Zikna Kafsalav, he became like prematurely old. Shmuel became prematurely old. Dichtiv, and now the Gemara says, so in other words, he was really, he looked like, in other words, he died at age 52, but he looked like he was much older. He says, Dichtiv, Nicham Tikim, now the Gemara is going to explain why this happened to him. He says, Dichtiv, Nicham Tikim, Lachit Shmuel. So Hashem says, I regretted that I made Shaul a king. And it means like, it's an anthropomorphism, but remember Shaul, he didn't kill off Amalek. And then Hashem says to Shmuel, Nicham Tikim Lachlis Shaul HaMelech. And that's the Haftorah we have on Parshat Zachor. Amar Lepan Avribonu Shalom, Shekaltani Kim Moshe V'Yaron. Says, you said I was the equivalent of Moshe V'Yaron. Dechiv Moshe V'Yaron before Nabu Shmuel B'Korei Shmo. This is what we recite in, you know, a couple of Shabbats every Friday night. The Moshe and Aaron b'Chohanav, like when they're presiding over, and Shmuel b'Korei Shmuel, Shmuel calling Hashem. So it's like there's an equivalence between Moshe and Aaron on one hand and Shmuel on the other hand. Moshe and Aaron, like that which they created. So the simple chat that Rashi has, it means Yahushua was their Maaseh Yadayim, their Talmidim. They didn't, the Talmidim didn't predecease them. So that which I created, Shaul, is like passage that he should die. In other words, Hashem says to Shmuel, so the way I'm going to deal with it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll be dead. He says, so Shmuel says, look, you said I'm like the equivalent of Moshe Aaron. Moshe Aaron didn't have to go through anything like that. And he says, why should I have to go through that? So now, Rabbi Leibowitz is mentioning, I didn't see this inside, he was mentioning from the Ben Yehoyada. Then anyway, that was bothered. What does it mean that, like, so it's true, Yoshua, first of all, Yoshua was a Talmid of Moshe, he wasn't a Talmid of Aaron. And in addition to which, they had other Talmidim that died before them, you know, and Zakenim died before them. And so what does it mean that, so it's true, Yoshua outlived them, but there are other things. So the Ben Yehuda says it's not talking about Yoshua. He says it's talking about the Anan and the Man. The Anan and the Man continued on even after Aaron died. In other words, that's the Kabbal continued on, and the Man continued on past Moshe Rabbeinu's death for 30 days. It continued on past Moshe Rabbeinu's death. So he says, so that with the Nisim that there was Ocha for, whatever, that didn't end with their lives, somehow he wants to equivalent that to Shaul. I don't know why that's exactly the same as Shaul, but he wants to say that's the equivalent. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Hey, Avi. So what am I going to do? Limut Shaul, lo kashavik Shmuel. In other words, I want to kill off Shaul, but Shmuel doesn't want to let me. That I can't do. Limut Shmuel ad zutar. Let Shmuel die when he's young. This is Muran Neabatre. So everyone says, he must have some terrible avera. He died so young. Lo limut Shaul, lo limut Shmuel. Let nobody die. Let Shmuel stay alive, and let Shmuel stay alive." For David, the time for the Davidic monarchy has arrived. Shai is still with us. Okay, so he says, "One malchut doesn't touch the other malchut. Even like it was once the decree has been in Shemayim, so one malchut doesn't even override for like kimlonima, like a hair's breadth into the next malchut once the gezer is there. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, what I'm going to do is." I'm going to accelerate the aging process with Shmuel. So in Achinami, chronologically, he'll be 52, but he'll look like he's, I guess, over 70, and then he'll die. I believe Shaul Yoshev Giva Tachara Eishel B'Ramah. Shaul was like sitting, dwelling in Giva Tachara Eishel B'Ramah. Now Shaul is from Shevet Binyamin. Now Giva is Givat Shaul. That's in Shevet Binyamin. And Ramah is in Ephraim. He says, "V'chimayin and Giba is a Ramah." So it says Shaul was dwelling in Giba under the Eshel, under this tree in Ramah. But those are two different locations. It's like he's dwelling in New York, you know, under the tree in Chicago. What does that mean? It's two different places. What caused Shaul to be able to reign for 2.5 years? You have to assume that the incident with Amalek takes place soon after he becomes king, and so you bumped him off. Instead, he lets him stay on for king for 2.5 years. Tfilatosha Shmuel Ramati. That was the tefillah of Shmuel. So it's saying the rest of the pasuk is Shaul Yosheb Giva. Shaul was dwelling in Giva as a king, but he was reigning as a king because Yerushalayim wasn't the capital yet. He says, Tachra Eishel Barama, underneath the Eishel Barama, on account of the Eishel in Rama. And there was because of Shmuel, who was in, he's called the Eishel in Rama. He says, Umimit Chigavra Mikami Gavra. So the Gemara says, is one person like forced to die because of another person? In other words, so Shmuel's got to go because David has to become a king? In the Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Rav Yonatan, my defila king chatzafti ben avim, haraktim ben reiti. What does it mean that like chatzaf means to quarry, but like I killed an avim, I killed an reiti, like with my decree, with my words, but it means my decree. The ma'asim lo nemar el ben reiti. Sometimes it's the time for somebody else. And Rashi says the Ilchi Shmuel Mikami David, and that's the Gzeira from Hashem. So it means that so either Shmuel dies at age 52, and that's not the age he died from Kare, or normally it would be the age of Kare, but he looked so much older and it was due to other things that he died. So that's the okay, who's any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Right, because it's Gezerah for David HaMelech. That's the way it seems. That's the way it seems. He did.
No.
Yeah, but, well, in other words, the way I'll give the Hezbollah is, it's, I'm thinking it's like a Rebbe with his Talmidim. You know, the Rebbe has a Talmud. Every Talmud is like the Rebbe creates Talmidim. He teaches him. He's like Ma'asei Yadav. Remember, like, there's a piece from the Rav on this that, you know, like, the Rebbe changes the person. He creates a whole new chiyus for the person. And that's why, like, a Talmud has to, you know, do kriya when his Rebbe passes away. In other words, the parents give him biological life. But the Rebbe, like, through his teaching, he reforms him. He creates something else. So if I have one Talmud and then one Talmud is going to die, another Talmud. But I love they're all my kids, my body. So, David, that's nice with David, but he was upset about, you know, Shaul, that he had appointed him to be a king. No, that's what I'm saying. Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And Shaul either, but Shmuel felt like connected to Shaul, and this was his action, and he wasn't too thrilled with it. Okay, now, even though Shmuel had tightness against Shaul also, but he wasn't happy with being removed. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, any questions? I'm moving on. We're 5 lines above where it gets wide. Okay.
Are you sitting in front of the screen?
I am. I don't know why.
All I see is a desk.
Yeah. I see. You know what? I don't know how to get this. It's viewing from the rear now. I don't know why it's viewing from the rear.
Friend, do you see?
How do I flip it over from the rear?
Okay, yeah, but I hear it.
Okay, got it. Okay, there you go. Okay. Oh, now I have heard. Okay. All right. Looks as an eye. You want to try it? Okay, we're working on it for 1 minute, Ruth. Otherwise, we're going to give up. Yeah, this is
a selfie.
Fern, what do you see?
Desk, but I hear him, so I'm okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry. All right. Yeah, see a picture of the other Talmidim. How's that? All right, here, I'll give you Rafi. I hope it's okay, Rafi. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, I give up with that. Okay. Oh, maybe this thing here. I don't know. All right. All right. Anyway, all right, moving on. Okay, now. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yaakov, Sudatah. Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak were sitting and having a meal together. How many Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, Lemamar Milta? He says, let me hear some, you know, Chidushe Torah. Let me hear something you have to say. So he says, Amalei Ha'achim Rav Yochanan. Again, Rav Yitzchak is always referring to Rav Yochanan. Hey, Masichim Besuda. You're not allowed to talk in the middle of a meal. Shemi Yakim Kana Leveshet. The food might get caught. The Kana is the trachea and the Veshet is the esophagus. Sakana. So Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, you know, that's what everybody talks in the meal. So we'll talk shortly about that. He says, after they had eaten whatever they needed to eat, so at that point, Rabbi Yitzchak said, this is what Rabbi Yochanan says, Yaakov bin Lomei, that Yaakov never died. Yaakov, the son of Yitzchak, never died. So Rav Nachman said, Kivraya. So there was for Noah that everybody gave him a eulogy that they by a chantua Torah fame, says they like embalmed him, whatever they wrapped him up like a mummy, the kavru kivraya, and they buried him. So Amalei, so Yisrael said Mikrani Doresh. I'm darshing the pasuk in the Torah. Shneimar and in the Nabi. Shneimar biatati Rabbi Yaakov to Hashem. Don't fear my servant Yaakov, words of a God. Yatechat Israel. Don't have trepidation, Israel. I'm going to save you from a long distance, and I'm going to save your progeny from the lands of their captivity. So in other words, Hashem is saying, don't worry, Yaakov, I'm going to save you. Don't worry, Yikla Yisrael, which is progeny, I'm going to save you. So it's a hekesh between Yaakov and his progeny. Just like Hashem, when he's going to save the Jews later on, he's only saving the Jews who are alive, right? That's the idea. He's going to save Jews who are alive. So too, Mamela, the just patching around with this picture again. Anyway, so... So just like the progeny, in other words, the Jews he's saving in the future are going to be alive, so too Yaakov is going to be alive. Okay, now, well, he says, let's look at Rashi on this. He says, I'll tell you in a minute why. He says, let's do the Rashi. He says, Mazru b'chayim, shu mekabit yisrael meir shivyam, b'chayim hu mekabit, shein b'shvi, b'shamitim ina b'shvi. It says, I'm going to take the Jews from the Eretz Shavyam, from the lands of their captivity. So the way I remember the Rashi, I don't know if this is right, he says that the future of the Meitim are going to like roll through different tunnels and make it to Eretz Israel. But I don't know, here it doesn't sound like he's talking about Tchias HaMeitim. He's talking about Kibbutz Galiyot. I don't know, there's two different elements. There's Kibbutz Galiyot, there's Tchias HaMeitim. I don't know, that's the way the Gemara takes it. Okay, now what does this mean that Yaakov never dies? So, the way Reb Lau, I think, explained it to me once, he was saying that it means like, as long as we're following his teaching, so he's not dead, and we're following his teaching. But that's all really, he says. In other words, but it doesn't say that he died. That's the key thing. That by Yaakov, it doesn't say that he died. He says, so if you look at Tosos, it says, V'chei mashma d'chti ba'yigvah. Like he sort of like expired, the locati by Amo didn't say that he died. I don't know. All right, now let me go to the next piece of Gemara. Okay, now the fifth white line. Rabbi Yitzchak called only Rachav Miandikre. Rachav is Rachav Azona, you know, the innkeeper from Yericho. So whoever says Rachav Miandikre, he'll get like sexually excited if he's a man. Amali Rav Nachman and Amin of Loich Batli. Rav Nachman said, "I say it and it doesn't have any impact on me." So Amarlei, he coming to Biyod of Makira. I meant if you knew her and you recognized her, then you would say her name, and then that would get you all, you know, worked up. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says five lines of Yoda Hainanamai Makira. So Rashi says the two seem to be the same, but if you look at the last Tosfos, Tosfos Yoda Makira Kamina, Perish Yoda Shaba'ala Makira Shiraota. It was if you had intimate relations with her, and then you would see her, you know, you say, and you had relations with her and you know who she is, and then you say her name, then you would get worked up and excited. Now, this relates to Kol Isha, because a lot of people connect this to the sugya of Kol Isha. So, quotes over here, posing the question whether the interdiction against listening to a woman sing applies if one does not see the woman who is singing. So let's say a woman's singing, but I don't see her. So am I still over on Kol Isha? In the opinion of some poskim, the sound of a woman's voice in and of itself will not generate improper thoughts, whereas other poskim maintain that the sound of a woman's voice has capacity to generate improper thoughts, even if the man cannot see the singer. Because Argamar states that now he makes his text to Argamar, that mentioning Rachav's name implies that no one recognizes her. So what is Yoda Makira? So Rashi says they're synonymous. Tosa says no one's talking about having like a relationship with her. He says this indicates, according to Tosfos, that if he merely recognizes her, but they don't have an intimate relationship, the prohibition would not apply. Shmuz Yaakov explains that the double expression teaches that even if he doesn't know her personally, but has merely seen an image of her, is nonetheless enough for the restriction to apply. So in other words, the way that Shmuz Yaakov understands the sugya, Yoda Makira, in other words, even if I recognize her picture, I didn't see her personally, but I recognize her picture. Although there are posts who maintain that if one does not see the woman singing, the prohibition does not apply. Nevertheless, so in other words, Yoda Makira means I'm seeing something. The point is Shmuz Yaakov. That goes with the Malach, that if I see the person singing. So he says, nevertheless, Rav Yosef rules based on this interpretation of Shmuz Yaakov, that if one who has seen her, even in a picture, is proven to listen to her sing. So the way he understands it like this, that if I know what she looks like, even if I'm not seeing her now, I'm over on Kol Isha. In other words, so Biyodur Makira, in other words, Sarah is singing, and I don't see Sarah right now, but I hear Sarah, but I know what Sarah looks like. So I'm over on Kol Isha, notwithstanding that. That's the idea. I don't know. This is the way the Shmuz Yaakov has it. All right. Now let's see further in the Gemara. Now I have to do about the speaking during the meal. Let me do this last Gemara, which is the famous Gemara, and we'll talk about seeing Divrei Torah during the meal. So he says, when they were taking leave of one another, so Rav Nachman, he was the Makshin. He's going back home. He's taking leave of Rav Yitzchak. So Amar Levi Baruch Hanan, he says, can the master Rav Yitzchak, you know, we've had all these conversations, can you give me a bracha before I leave? So Amar Levi, Sholachem Mashal Amad Devar Demeh. I'll give you Mashal, it's a famous Mashal. La Adam Shaya Holech Bamidbar, a person was traveling in the desert. He was hungry and tired. It's Sameh and thirsty. Matzah Ilan, Shkotabin Tukim. And he comes across a wonderful tree with delicious fruit, with silona and wonderful shade, Yamada Mayan Obera Tachtav, and there's a water channel traveling, you know, right underneath it. That's perfect. Achalmi Perutav, he ate from its fruit, Shatami Mab, and he drank the water, Yashabit Silo, and then he sat in the shade. Doesn't sound like a nice scene. Ukshabikesh Lalech, and then when he wanted to get up and leave, Amar, he said, Ilan Ilan Ba Mevarechetha. Ilan Ilan, how can I give you a bracha? What would I give you bracha with? Imamar l'chashu v'rtechem etukim. But I say, may your fruit always be sweet. They're already sweet. Shade silchana eh. You should have wonderful shade. Right silchana eh. Your shade is beautiful. Shtei amanamayim obera tachtecha. You should have a water channel going underneath you. Rei amanamayim obera tachtecha. You have that already. My bracha is that all the shoots that they plant from you. Those you have shoots, you take the shoots of the plant from someone else, you quote it should be just like you. So Rav Yitzchak says to Rav Nachman, what bracha can I give you? In the Torah, you already have a lot of Torah. And Bach is Arei Yesh Lecha Torah. Let's do the Bach. Bim L'Gedula, Arei Yesh Lecha Gedula. Bim L'Kavod, Arei Yesh Lecha Kavod. You have Gedula, Torah, and Kavod. Bim Ba'osher, you have wealth as well. children, you have children. El yihiratzon, Jew called tzetzaim meyacha, kamotcha. That all of your progeny be like you. Okay, now, let me just do a little piece, and then again, tomorrow night you'll have Michael. We're grateful that Michael's going to be the doc tomorrow night. Okay, now, the let me talk about talking during the meal. Say again? Well, that's what it says here. So I don't know if it means like rich and money is a simple shot. I don't know if it means rich in something else, but he's rich. So it says, so Rabbins converse during a meal. Rabbi Gordon, you're welcome to join us for 3 minutes if you like. Why don't you take it down, take a Gemara and join us. Okay, over here, down here, on the second shelf on the bottom of the corner. Go closer to the wall, to this wall. Come closer to me. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Okay, so we're on Daf Hayamid Beis, a few lines over Daf up to the top. So he said, it's basically Masicha Masuda. So he says, it's forbidden to converse during a meal because it's danger of choking one's food. Consequently, he withheld his Torah thoughts until the meal was finished. Yerushalmi states that in the middle of a meal, we should not even bless someone who sneezes by saying a suta gesundheit. That's indicating that even a short statement is forbidden. And I wrote on the side here from previous time that it's brought down the tour, it's even Kufayim. The Prisha writes that not only is it forbidden to talk while actually eating or chewing one's food, but it's also forbidden to talk between courses. Therefore, Rav Nachman withheld his Torah thoughts until after the entire meal. So, yeah, it does sound like a very quiet meal. The Ion Yaakov asked why it was permissible for Rabbi Yitzchak to interrupt his meal and in four of Nachman. What do you think? Who said Ion? He says, Rabbi Yitzchak is the one who says a Masih from the Suda. Yeah, so Nachman is the one with an option. So I think he flipped it over here. He says, no. Yeah, Rabbi Yitzchak is one. Right. He says, okay. No, he says Rabbi Nachman withheld his Torah thoughts. He means Rabbi Yitzchak withheld his Torah thoughts. So that again, I think we made a mistake on that one. Okay. So he says, the Yaakov asked what his principle is to interrupt his meal. For Nachman, in the Sikh Masuda, says by doing so, he's in effect violating this very halakha. How can he even say Masikh Masuda? In answer, the Yaakov postulates, is permitted to teach halakha during a meal without consumer choking, is a merit of the Torah study will protect one from harm. However, a Gadic topic such as the death of Yaakovinu is forbidden since it's not relevant to practical halakha. Because the Prima Gana maintains is only permitted to inform a friend of a halakha during a meal that is relevant at the moment and is necessary to prevent violation of Torah. Or it's like a Lafushimi Surah. So it's like similar, like during Kriya Torah, I'm not allowed to speak. But if I see somebody who's about to eat something treif, so I can interrupt and say, don't eat that, that's treif. That's Lafushimi Surah. So he says that he could interrupt in the meal to say you're not allowed to talk to Brit Torah. However, all other speaking is forbidden, including Dibri Torah and practical halakha. The Prisha wonders why today, for the most part, people converse during their meal in apparent disregard for this halakha. In answer, the Prisha postulates that the concern of choking pertains only to those who eat while reclining on their sides. In other words, if you're eating the Haseba, which they did as Van Chazal, that's what the Gemara means. However, it is not dangerous to talk during a meal if one's sitting upright. So then, I don't have a problem. So if they were eating the Haseba, they got a problem, otherwise not. Yeah, the Seder, well, usually the Haseba usually do when you're eating the matzah, but usually the meal, the people sit up straight. But alternatively, the Shari Tshuva suggests that since I think it means conversing during a meal is such a widespread practice today, for Dash should be Rabbim, you can apply the principle of Shomer Petayim Hashem. Hashem guards fools. So the Torah Tamima asserts that, so that's two answers. So one answer is, they ate the Haseba, we don't eat the Haseba. The other answer is, somehow it became so prevalent. So it's an idea, Shomer P'tayim Hashem. So the third answer is, the Torah Tamim asserts the term Ein Masichin, as opposed to Ein Sachin, does not mean we do not converse, we do not cause conversation, meaning, do not say a novel statement which is likely to elicit a response. It is forbidden to suggest an interesting novel Torah thought, such as Rav Nachman's, again, it should be Rav Yitzchak, right? He's got it in Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak's assertion that Yaakov Vino Lomay, he says, which prompted Rav Nachman to immediately ask why then would they eulogize him. Making such statements during meals is dangerous because it could elicit a sudden response from one who was in the middle of eating, causing him to choke on his food. Likewise, explaining a suta, which is like gesundheit when you sneeze, is not permitted during a meal because the sneeze comes suddenly without warning and a sudden response could be dangerous. Okay, so we have three answers. The either answer is that they ate baseba, we don't eat baseba, or that it's the kvar dashu be rabim, or ein masicha masuda, means I shouldn't say something which is likely to cause like a startled response. In other words, I can't cause somebody to, you know, so, something that, you know, such an interesting and over and sort of thought people go like blown out, like, what did you say? And he's coughing on the food. Okay, there are three answers for that. Okay, I think that's going to be it now. Okay, so let me just show you everybody who's here. And here are the people in the Zoom world. Here's Michael, and here's Rabbi Gordon, and here's Rafi, and here's Abe, and here's Yosef, and here's Shaya, and here's me. Okay, thank you. Okay, anyway, let me end the recording.